Imagine waking up to discover that your parents have signed the papers to have you unwound, systematically dismantled for your organs and body parts. In Neil Schusterman's chilling dystopian novel Unholy, this nightmare is reality. The story continues the disturbing premise established in Unwind, where troubled teens can be legally harvested for their parts in a process called unwinding. What makes this world truly terrifying isn't just the practice itself, but how society has normalized it through clever propaganda, religious justification, and economic incentives. Public service announcements promote unwinding as the sensible solution to juvenile delinquency, while marketing campaigns advertise NeuroWeave brain tissue implants as academic enhancement products. The legal system has been structured to facilitate this process. Parents can sign unwind orders with the same casualness as permission slips, while officers mechanically recite the negation clause that officially terminates a teen's existence as a person. Deep in the Arizona desert, an abandoned airplane salvage yard has become sanctuary for over 700 escaped unwinds who call themselves holies. This hidden refuge, known as the Graveyard, operates under the leadership of Connor Lassiter, the legendary Akron AWOL. Life here isn't glamorous. It's about survival. Connor has established a leadership structure handling everything from security to food distribution, learning that leadership is less about inspiring speeches and more about keeping toilets flushing, as the Admiral once told him. The Anti-Divisional Resistance, ADR, operates a network of safe houses that funnel AWOLs to the graveyard, transporting teens in coffins via aircraft, a dangerous but effective underground railroad. Connor also leads rescue missions to save teens scheduled for unwinding, forcing parents to confront their often trivial justifications for condemning their children. But the resistance faces threats from within as well, particularly when Mason Starkey, a charismatic storked teen, forms a splinter faction called the Stork Club that conducts unauthorized and sometimes disastrous missions. How do you maintain your sense of self when society has deemed you disposable? This trauma creates profound identity crises for the characters. Mason Starkey's knowledge that his adoptive parents never truly wanted him fuels his vengeful personality. Memories of attempted abandonment, obligatory gifts, and storky taunts shape his determination to establish a hierarchy where storked children reign supreme. Connor Lassiter struggles differently after receiving Roland's arm in an emergency transplant. He avoids intimacy with Risa, fearing Roland's arm might hurt her, and smashes his fist against walls, knowing they aren't truly his knuckles. Risa Ward initially refuses an unwound teen spine, choosing her wheelchair rather than benefiting from the system she opposes. When later forced to accept the spine to protect friends, she describes feeling like she's skiing with an avalanche chasing her, a powerful metaphor for her loss of control. In this disturbing world, human bodies have been fully transformed into commercial products, with market forces determining their value and distribution. The black market for unwound parts reveals the stark economics of this system. A kidney buyer might pay $150,000, while the donor receives only $5,000, with prices varying dramatically by location. Beyond organs, everything from skin tissue to neural matter carries specific market values, creating a grotesque catalog of human components. J.T. Nelson, a notorious parts pirate, operates like a specialized procurement agent, receiving specific requests for redheaded girls, umbers, and Native Americans, for which he'll pay premium prices. This chilling shopping list treats human beings like specialty items, with certain physical characteristics commanding higher market values. Even religious tithing programs commodify children, though with spiritual justification. Miracolina was conceived specifically to save her brother from leukemia through a bone marrow transplant, then promised to be gifted back to God through tithing, essentially treating her as both a medical product and a religious offering. What does it mean to be human when you're made from the parts of 100 different people? Cam represents Unholy's most profound ethical dilemma, a being created from nearly 100 unwinds who must forge an identity from fragmented consciousness. He struggles with memories that somehow all happened to him yet didn't, a burned hand, angry mother, broken arm, knife fight. His physical appearance, a patchwork of different flesh tones like a living quilt, makes his composite nature impossible to ignore. When questioning Roberta about souls, she offers unsatisfying platitudes about creating his own experiences. During a press conference, Cam passionately defends his humanity, comparing himself to impressionist paintings that must be viewed from a distance to appreciate, before breaking down. "I am more than the parts I'm made of." His relationship with Risa further complicates matters when he discovers he contains parts of Samson, a boy who had feelings for her. Are Cam's feelings his own or remnants of someone else's life? How does a society come to accept the dismantling of teenagers as normal? Throughout Unholy, propaganda and media manipulation serve as powerful tools for normalizing the unthinkable. Television commercials promote neuroweave brain tissue implants as solutions for struggling students, presenting unwinding as a beneficial medical advancement rather than a horrific violation. Harvest camps are marketed as adventures with cheerful messaging that obscures their true purpose. Children are even recruited into junior watchdog programs to report AWOL unwinds, turning peer surveillance into civic virtue. The media's portrayal of teenagers creates a foundation for unwinding's acceptance. News stories predominantly depict teenage boys as criminals, using dehumanizing language that makes it easier for society to view them as disposable. When Cam is introduced to the public, proactive citizenry employs a sophisticated media campaign, releasing teasing close-up images before revealing his full identity. This strategy transforms what could be seen as a monstrosity into a celebrity, with fashion designers even creating rewind chic clothing inspired by his patchwork appearance. Despite the dystopian setting, Unholy reveals hope through small acts of resistance and youthful resilience. When waitress Carla helps Connor and Lev escape police, she tells them, "Not everyone's your enemy. Things are changing out there." This unexpected solidarity suggests public awareness is growing. Risa's televised expo of proactive citizenry's manipulation represents another hopeful moment. Mira Kalina's journey from devoted tithe to independent thinker shows even the most indoctrinated can change. Though planning to return to her parents, she now envisions inviting Lev to dance at a future celebration, a small but meaningful reimagining of her future. As Connor and Lev drive east on Route 66, Connor teases about making Lev get a haircut in Ohio, both heading into a world that's ripe for saving. In a society profiting from division, the most powerful resistance is insisting on remaining whole, not just physically, but in spirit, conscience, and community.